across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Monday morning, June 17th, 2024. It's another beautiful, if muggy, day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, watching us on social media, or on demand by podcast. Nice to have you along to get the week started. I got a question for you. Are you a baseball night owl when the Brewers head to the West Coast? They are heading there starting tonight. The next five games don't get started until 8:40 in the evening. When that happens, do you stay up a little bit later to catch the telecast or listen to the guys on the radio calling the game? I know I used to in a pre-4 a.m. wake-up lifetime, but curious about your thoughts on that. If you want to comment on that or anything in the news today, feel free to reach us. Reach out at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number, you can text that number, and you can leave a comment on one of our social media pages as well. But as we learned from the Scani Summer Text to Win contest, a whole lot of you now know how to text us through the Civic Media app, and we appreciate that very much. It was great to have Jane Matinere and Todd Alba up here on Thursday and Friday, Thursday in Eau Claire, Friday in Amory, and watching them jockey back and forth for who could get the most calls on their particular shows. And then the loser ended up buying the winner a steak dinner. And I'll tell you, the margin was razor thin. It was truly a metaphor for voting in Wisconsin and how you never stop asking people for their vote because you never know what it's going to come down to at the very end. On the program today, we'll talk about the strange game that a lot of us play these days, scrolling aimlessly through the streaming services, hoping to find something, anything that's both new and good to watch. We'll discuss how Brad Schimmel, the former state attorney general, now running for state Supreme Court, seems to be trying to hide from his record supporting a full abortion ban in the state. We'll ask, what was Congressman Derek Van Orden thinking in voting to restore a Confederate monument at Arlington National Cemetery? And he wasn't alone. And in our second hour, Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin talks about their work to remind voters about candidates' real records, not their campaign ad rhetoric, especially when it comes to taxes and what we're learning about the real cost of Donald Trump's 2017 big cuts for the very wealthy. All that, Brittany Merlo's forecast, Terry Bell with three things you need to know, and more. The 6 a.m. temperatures around Wisconsin look like this, and they're all 15 to 20 degrees warmer than where we were Friday morning. It's 73 here in Chippewa Falls, 62 in Hayward, 68 in Park Falls. Wausau's at 73. Green Bay's at 74, La Crosse 77, Wisconsin Rapids 74, Oshkosh 74, Madison 74. These 70s would be great, except that the dew points are in the 70s as well. Dew points in the 70s, no bueno. Wait, I'm leaving a city out. Waukesha, 72 degrees. It's in Waukesha where we find not Greg Bach. We are in the capable hands of one Luke Mathers, pinch hitting for Mr. Bach this week. Mr. Mathers, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. How are we doing today?
We're doing pretty good, though. I'm going to first pick a bone with Greg. He was at least going to send us a note to see if he did, in fact, go to the Kenosha Dairy Breakfast over the weekend. Oh. So I don't know if he made it or not.
I did not receive that note, so I cannot provide an update on that reporting. I apologize.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Greg will still be on with Jane, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. Yes.
We're just doing some early morning changes here for a couple of days, letting Greg sleep in. Well-deserved rest, of course, but it means Mr. Mathers has to work that much harder to get to Waukesha. We appreciate it. How was your weekend?
It was a really good weekend. Very successful. We actually had some dry days strung in a row there last week. So on Saturday, we were out painting and priming. So continuing the home paint job, the wife and I. And then yesterday, we snuck away to the Brewers game and got to celebrate Father's Day. So, yeah, my favorite thing to do on Father's Day is take my dad to a baseball game. And so the whole family went. We got to go see the Brewers win the series against the Reds in some pretty thrilling fashion. And it was an excellent time. It was a great game to be at. It was very hot, but it was a great game.
Well, it's a great place to watch the game, and it was an exciting one. That Red series, the whole weekend was. On Friday night, you had Bill Schroeder marking 30 years in the broadcast booth, so every one of the play-by-play guys over the years was there to honor him. That was fun, listening to all those guys coming in. Saturday, Snoop Dogg was there, just throwing out the first pitch because he was performing at Pottawatomie nearby. He was in the broadcast booth for a bit.
But
that
it
was hilarious.
Unscheduled. I don't believe he was scheduled to throw the first pitch. Snoop Dogg just kind of showed up and started saying, hey, can I, like, what can I do? And they were like, well, it's Snoop Dogg, so let's see what we can do for you.
Well, and when they decided to do that, the guys were telling a story during the game yesterday about how, and I don't remember the coach's name, who normally catches all these ceremonial first pitches, and apparently is a big Snoop Dogg fan. So they pranked him. They had him do all the other ceremony first pitches, and then they're like, hey, Snoop really wants, Christian Yelich to catch. And he looked kind of crestfallen, and then they were like, no, we're just kidding. Get out there. And he looked so happy being out there. So it was just and great games. They really were. All the games were good. They won 2 out of 3. The Willie Adames hit a 3-run homer in the 6th inning to help the Brewers go ahead. But then the game ends with Blake Perkins throwing out a runner at the plate, a throw from center field to preserve the Brewers winning 5-4 yesterday. William Contreras, the catcher, got his bell rung, but he got back up. I love the photo of him holding the ball. He's like, still in the mitt, still here.
He laid there for a little while, but he was smiling on the ground when he saw the ball was still in his mitt. So he did get a little, I don't know if it was just the wind knocked out of him or what, but
no, he basically got his head snapped a little bit. He got hit in the head, and you see him kind of, his head got knocked to the side. And I think we've all had that where you kind of see stars for a little bit, but he'll be okay.
He knew that the Reds were challenging the play too, so he kind of just laid there getting, collecting himself, and then got back up afterwards.
Yep. I thought that was great. I have to say, with some of these opposing teams, I mean, the Reds, Ellie De La Cruz, holy cow. I'd be happy if we never had to play him again.
That man is good at baseball. He is good at
that
baseball.
That man is so good. He homered, he tripled, he scored 3 runs, including once from second on a failed pickoff attempt. And so they've got 2 more series against the Reds, including a home one, August 9th to 11th. I'm just saying, if you're going to go to a series, go to that one and just to watch De La Cruz. But as it stands, the Brewers are still, they are still your first place Milwaukee Brewers, leading the Central by 6.5 over the Cardinals. Everybody's bunched up, in second place, basically, behind the Brewers, who, as we continue to say, are just too young to know they're not supposed to be this good just yet. So,
And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah. So the question I started off with, again, not fair because of our early morning rolls most of the time, but in a different time, different place, when the Brewers are out west, do you tend to watch the late night games? Do you watch them more because you'd stay up later, less? Do you do when they travel?
When my teams are on the West Coast, the one that will keep me up at night to watch
would be the Bucks.
Is the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
So when the Bucks go to Sacramento or LA or Golden State, then I will be up late watching, and the wife will be like, it's 11:45 right now. Why? And you have to be up early. Like, what are you still doing awake? I'm like, it's a close game. Like, if it was a blowout,
I like.
Yeah, yes. It's like, I will occasionally, like, when it comes to playoff baseball and it's like against the Dodgers, yeah, I'm staying up for those games. But but on a typical like Tuesday night, West Coast go at it, like not typical for me to stay up late.
Not for the LA Angels, who they'll play for these next 3 games. Then they go to San Diego for 4 more. Carlos Rodriguez gets the start for the Brewers tonight. And as I mentioned, all 5 games, all the weeknight games, all of them start at 8:40 Central Time. So you'll catch those on some of our civic media stations, or you'll hear about them right here first thing in the morning because you're not going to stay up that late. I will say that, again, those of us who are just radio geeks, you know, I used to grow up, you know, tuning that AM radio, and you'd hear a Cardinals game out of St. Louis, or, you know, the rare times. And I mean, it had to be the atmosphere to be just right, and you're hearing Vin Scully, you know, and the Dodgers or something like that. I mean, I loved late night baseball that way. When I had jobs that would require late night drives, it was a treat. Like, great, I got something to listen to between 10 and midnight. Mm-hmm. But I think for the rest of us, you know.
Well, and you can stay tuned to your favorite civic media radio station, and our friend Mike Clemens is going to keep you up to date twice an hour with those sports news updates as well. So if you're not staying up for the game, you can get those updates just by listening to your favorite civic media station.
Mike Clemens is my favorite vampire because he stays up all night. I remember trying to book him for an early morning interview, and he's like, it has to be like right at 6:06 because he tends to go to bed at about 6.
Yeah, his sleep schedule has got to be one of the strangest sleep schedules that I'm aware of. Like, I'm sure him and Dr. Lyerly can swap stories about the sleep shifts because it cannot be easy.
Which reminds me, normally Dr. Lyerly joins us at 6:30 on Mondays to talk a little bit about headlines and stuff. Got a note from her a few minutes ago that she's busy. So being an OBGYN, you can probably get a sense for what she might be up to right about now. But she may or may not join us along the way. Occupational hazard being what it is. We have plenty. This is just one of those weekends. Some Monday mornings, you just look at the legal pad and it's blank. And today it's already a couple of pages, you know, deep in notes of things that we've got to get into from the news standpoint. But just as well, we have to get into something that I have likened the doom scrolling of streaming services to a box of Lucky Charms. Because it's like you're looking for something good, and you're getting an oat piece, oat piece, oat piece, oat piece. Ooh, a marshmallow. Wait, I saw, I had that marshmallow already. It's like, oh, wait, I've already seen that movie. But eventually, it's like a lab rat with a pellet dispenser. If you just hit the pellet dispenser enough times, one of them's going to come out, you know, as a Hershey bar, you're hoping.
There maybe. You go.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that much more, along with your calls and texts, if you care to share it, 855-75-CIVIC, wherever you're listening, across Wisconsin on this Monday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is for you, Greg. We miss you.
No, I can't smile without you.
Okay, actually, it's for Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow's birthday today, so we'll get in a tune or two coming up a little bit. But I'm happy you're here too, Luke, just to make that part clear.
Oh, don't worry. I'm never concerned. I'm not the one that needs the fawning over to make sure that I remember.
I like that confidence. I really do. No. It's just about 6:21 on this Monday morning. Let's get to unpacking some of the news today, and then more birthdays in our history lesson coming up in 30 minutes. On social media, for the second time in 2 weeks, conservative media is doing more than simply, say, distorting something that President Biden says or does. The outright lying and manipulation of their audience, of their readers, of their viewers, of their listeners. We talked about this on Friday morning with Mark Jacob, about the first instance of this is so low, and yet they did it again over the weekend. And here's what I mean. You'll recall that just over a week ago, President Biden was in Europe commemorating D-Day, and he and other world leaders were gathered, and paratroopers were starting to land to commemorate the paratroopers jumping 80 years ago. In one case, President Biden appears to wander off screen. Now, if you're looking at multiple camera shots, You see what he was doing. A paratrooper had just landed. He was walking over to him to congratulate him, to talk to him. Anybody would be very happy to have a sitting president of the United States come over to say hi to you. But of course, it's so easy to just look at the one camera frame and say, oh, President Biden appeared to wander off. He got lost. He's just wandering off the frame. Is he okay? And of course, it was so easy to show that that was complete and total manipulation of the audience by conservative media outlets. And you would think they might have been chastened a bit, maybe feel a slight sense of shame. And yet they did it again over this past weekend when President Biden gathered with former President Obama and many others at a fundraiser in California. And one of the first posts I see this morning is from Congressman Derek Van Orden, again saying, you know, sharing somebody with a film snippet that appears to show President Biden getting confused and wandering off the stage, and President Obama has to bring him back in. And then again, you look at the full video, you look at the other camera angle, and of course, it's at the end of it. And they're standing up and they're on stage, and people, you know, will often walk to one part of the stage, wave, or talk to the crowd. They'll walk over to another part of the stage, wave, and talk to the crowd, which is what President Biden was doing. But of course, Derek Van Orden and others are not interested in that if they can lie and again try to put forth this narrative that President Biden is somehow, you know, not cognitive, not all with it. Why would they do that? Why would they lie about that? I don't know. Maybe it's because that over the weekend, President Trump, former President Trump, talked about, you know, how Joe Biden needs, you know, a cognitive skills test. And he talked about, Trump talked about, you know, how he passed it. He passed a test like that when it was administered by his doctor, Dr. Ronnie Johnson, you know, Ronnie Johnson. Here's the thing. If you're going to talk about taking a cognitive skills test, get the doctor's name right. It's Ronnie Jackson. While talking about a cognitive test, he screwed up his doctor's name. That's where, again, I should have had the Curb Your Enthusiasm music ready because it was perfect for it. But that's why you do it. You do it to distract. You lie about the one to distract from the other. Whether it was, you know, in Europe or whether it was over the weekend. And instead, you get Trump saying, yeah, my doctor, Dr. Ronnie Johnson. There it is. Okay, so Derek Van Orden passes that along as a way to distract from Trump, apparently. But maybe it's a way to distract from something Derek Van Orden did as well. Maybe it's a way to distract from a vote late last week in favor of putting a Confederate monument back at Arlington National Cemetery. And keep in mind, Derek Van Orden loves to talk about being a Navy SEAL and being a veteran. And yet he and more than 190 Republicans voted to restore a Confederate monument, not just any Confederate monument. Here's more from Aaron Blake with the Washington Post. He writes, a racist massacre at a black South Carolina church this week in 2015, George Floyd's murder in 2020, intensified a reckoning over the role of Confederate symbols in American public life and government. It's a reckoning that has proven uneasy in the Republican Party, but now the party has landed overwhelmingly on the side of commemorating the Confederates. The century-old monument at Arlington, which was removed last December, features a slave, a black, quote, mammy, holding the infant child of a white officer as an enslaved black man follows the officer off to war. The monument references the, quote, lost cause, the mythology about the Civil War era that is favored by apologists for the Confederacy. Now, this amendment to a proposed defense spending measure lost big time, 230 to 192, but only 24 Republicans had the courage. I would go a step further. Only 24 Republicans had the brains not to restore a Confederate monument. But not Derek Van Orden, not Tom Tiffany, not Scott Fitzgerald, not Glenn Grothman. To those and any others who say, well, this is just part of Southern heritage and tradition, House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries put it this way. What tradition are you upholding? Slavery? Rape? Kidnapping? Jim Crow? Lynching? Racial oppression? All of the above? Is how Hakeem Jeffries put it. When you hear the word heritage, be alert. Heritage is a word that's now used in political terms to defend laziness, to defend the indefensible, to defend inaction, to defend uncaring, which is where I would again strongly, earnestly urge local media in Wisconsin to stop treating Derek Van Orden with kid gloves. He was once again at a local farm over the weekend talking about farming and the family farm, and we need to keep the family farm going. It's an integral part of our heritage here in Wisconsin, Van Orden said. Heritage, a word to defend uncaring and inaction. Like the farm bill, where Derek Van Orden hasn't done a single thing to make life better for Wisconsin farmers. But he's got time to spread lies about Joe Biden and vote to restore a Confederate monument. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of the several stories that are in the news this week. Newspapers overseas now are taking note of how Wisconsin Republicans are sitting on money and allowing water contaminated with PFAS to stay contaminated rather than do anything about it. And we'll talk about the Supreme Court coming down on the side of mass murderers rather than public safety when it comes to laws that they say are okay that consider machine guns to be legal on the streets. Back after this. You're up north. Six 34. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Luke Mathers is pinch hitting for Greg Bach today, and throughout the week. Do we get you for the whole week? Conceivably,
that's the plan.
That's the plan. Okay, good. The plan was also to have Kristen Lyerly here, and we had queued up. We had the needle on the record to play the Minnesota Rouser, which we would normally never play on a Wisconsin statewide talk show. But today is National Mascot Day, and we were going to appreciate the spirit of Dr. Lyerly being Goldie Gopher for all of those years. So thank you for rolling with the punches there and finding us something other. We'll save the Minnesota Rouser for some other time.
Right, we'll save that for if Dr. Lyerly can join us. But instead, I kind of somebody that dresses up as a mascot and mm-hmm. has his outfit, and then also with your oat piece, ooh, a marshmallow.
oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Boy, no, nobody.
That's the depth. There you go.
I'm trying
to add on some layers. And
quickest draw for bumper music in the West, Luke Mathers. We'll do that. But you know as well, you know, talking about the scrolling, you know, through, we went through Netflix yesterday. Because let's see, what was I looking for? I know we watched on Disney, we watched the Jim Henson documentary. Then we watched, on Hulu, we watched Bratz finally, the one about the Brat Pack.
Oh, I've heard good things. I've heard it. The algorithm, I think, wants me to watch it because I've been getting mm-hmm. a lot of different things coming across my feeds talking mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah. Let's see. I always want to be careful not to do spoilers here, but Andrew McCarthy, one of the original Brat Packers, basically decided to try to look up some of his old colleagues. And I say colleagues because the one theme that you get out of that is when they got the nickname, you know, they weren't all hanging around. They weren't a real pack the way, say, Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and the others were. They were just, that was a name given to the group of young actors at the time. So, I mean, they would occasionally be social, but they weren't some tight pack. So he wanted to reach out to them and find out, you know, basically, what are they doing now? How are they? How did they do with all the attention given the Brat Pack label? You talk to a lot of them, not to all of them, and I'll leave that as a little bit of mystery as to, you know, who talked and who decided not to talk. But I think that anybody who grew up in that era and is familiar with them would enjoy it. This is not the kind of documentary where I would say to, you know, my daughters, I would say, oh, watch this. This is a great history lesson on the Brat Pack. It's not. There's not nearly enough movie clips or anything. It's one of those you really kind of had to be there for this kind of a follow-up. And you're definitely, you know, more in that territory. I don't know.
I was not alive in the 80s, so therefore, yeah. I have a feeling it's not super applicable to me.
But I also don't know from a cultural standpoint. I mean, I still feel like many people watch The Breakfast Club. Well, let's find out. Have you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. That is still very much a cultural touchstone, and for good reasons, as they explained in there, just fabulous storytelling. But you know, nobody saw that. Well, almost nobody saw them all. There were movies there where I'm like, well, I don't even remember that movie, you know, when it came out. So yeah, it's more for us older folk that you would want to watch. But it got to, okay, so that was not bad. The Jim Henson one's not bad. So we're scrolling, we're looking for things to watch. So then I move over to Netflix and I'm scrolling. And the first thing we're always looking for would be new stand-up specials. Because
it's a good thing to look for.
Yeah, they're new and they're funny. And if you can't find something like that, and frankly, the last time we did, I got a little worried. Taylor Tomlinson, you know, when we listen to her, again, we listen from the standpoint now of people our age who have children her age. And if our daughters talked like that, we'd be worried about them. We'd be like, are you okay? And we did. We're kind of watching going, is she okay? And literally the next day they announced that she was getting her own late night show on CBS. So clearly she's doing okay, or at least okay enough.
She's kind of one of those comedians as well, though, that is very forward talking about the mental health that like goes into the comedic process and comedy. And so she's very vocal about those struggles that she has. And so I think you asking that question to her is kind of a success for her comedy, because I think that's part of the point. It's like we idolize these folks that go and make us laugh for an hour or for a set or whatever it may be. But Taylor's very vocal about the fact that not everybody up there entertaining you is like either that funny all the time or is okay to be in that space to provide comedic relief.
Right. I'm reminded of the old Steve Martin autobiography about his stand-up days that I just finished. And so lacking anything new there, we ended up on a movie that I had never heard of, much less seen. It had Ryan Reynolds in it and The Rock and Gal Gadot, and it was called Red Notice. I'd never even heard of it. I don't know how I missed it. Well, I know how I missed it. It was a direct-to-Netflix movie, and somehow I just never scrolled upon it. And it was so funny, but halfway to three-quarters through, Sherry turns to me and says, so you haven't seen this before? And I said, no. I said, have you? And she said, yeah, I just realized now I saw it on a plane a couple of years ago, which is probably says something about the film being somewhat forgettable. I thought it was rather cute. You know, again, it's not a documentary, let's put it that way, of them all being art thieves. But it was nice. It was, again, the marshmallow that you get after all the oat pieces of scrolling through all the streaming services.
See,
so we did find a little something.
I haven't watched that one, but I knew it was out there. That's the hard part too, though, is not even that there's so many different oat pieces. There's so many different marshmallows. That's why I try to keep a list. This is my piece of advice for you. Try to keep a list of things that other folks have recommended, because I'm always more interested in checking out a friend of mine or a family member's that's like, this was really good, you should go watch this, rather than try to rely on the algorithms and do all of that scrolling like you you've described. So I kind of just have a running list. Okay, I finished this. I know what I want to go watch next. I'm going to go watch that. And so by keeping a list, I don't have to rely on the algorithms as much.
There you go. Luke is relying on crowdsourcing for what he should watch. 855-75-CIVIC. Tell Luke what to watch on TV. 855-75-CIVIC. Use that text line. Let's see. I've got from Tony up in Hayward. I'm 37. I've never seen The Breakfast Club. Always on TV, but never interested. He also says Josh Johnson is hilarious at stand-up and Taylor is amazing. So he has no recommendations from you unless you've never seen Josh Johnson.
I'm blanking on Josh Johnson. I would need to probably see a face. That's kind of a very generic name. No offense, Josh, but no, I would need to see the face to see it. My queue is a little full right now, though. The Bear season 3 is coming out 10 days from now.
Yes.
So
okay.
I'm preparing for that one. We're in the middle. I also have Jeopardy reruns that I'm just watching. So I'm 2 months behind on my Jeopardy. I just watched May 2nd's episode yesterday.
Well, it's all that Top Chef Wisconsin you've been watching,
exactly,
with the big finale coming up day after tomorrow here. The newspaper The Guardian, based out of the UK, is the latest to take note of how Wisconsin Republicans are blocking $125 million that's already been budgeted to clean up polluted water in Wisconsin, and that Republicans are bottling it up, no pun intended, until basically immunity is given to the people and the companies who polluted our water. The move, The Guardian writes, is part of a broader effort by Republicans in the state to steal power away from Democratic Governor Tony Evers. The funding's supporters say that these are political games, putting residents' health at risk. Lee Donahue, the mayor of Campbell, part of the La Crosse metropolitan area, which has drinking water contaminated with astronomical levels of PFAS, says people really feel like they're held hostage. It's ridiculous, and some would argue it's criminal that they are withholding money from communities in dire need of clean drinking water. The article goes on, of course, to talk about PFAS being these industrial man-made chemicals that, you know, make many products stronger, but as a result, these strong chemicals do not break down in nature. They're being found in increasing quantities in drinking water, in groundwater, and some of them have proven to be harmful to human health. In the face of this crisis, The Guardian writes, bipartisan budget legislation created a $125 million pot of money for cleanup. It was approved by the legislature, which is run by Republicans. It was signed by the governor nearly 1 year ago. The funds are supposed to go to the Department of Natural Resources. But the legislative leaders claim that their Joint Finance Committee can add stipulations to how the money is spent or refuse to even release the money. And that's the legal theory Republicans are using to withhold the funding. They did float a separate piece of legislation, you'll recall, that would say how the $125 million could be spent, but it included what critics call a poison pill that exempts PFAS polluters from the state's spill laws that are designed to hold industry accountable for the contamination it causes. Evers vetoed the legislation because of the exemptions, and that's where the standoff is left, with Republicans claiming falsely that the current law would make the innocent landowners responsible for the cleanup cost when those safeguards are already there. So the fact that you now have press based overseas taking note of this tells you something about the significance of a legislative political group holding $125 million of your money hostage to clean up contaminated water around Wisconsin. If you missed it already, we're getting near the end of the U.S. Supreme Court's current term, and the folks who love to tell you that they're pro-life told you on Friday that they're pro-mass murder as they overturned a federal law passed during the Trump administration. And I would, you know, people would say, well, look, the Trump administration did something about gun safety. It was literally the least they could do. The least they could do after the Las Vegas massacre. Remember the Las Vegas massacre? More than 60 people dead, 500 wounded. Hundreds of people were shot and wounded because a guy with multiple shotguns, multiple firearms that included these bump stocks that turned semi-automatic weapons essentially into machine guns. The Trump administration said, well, let's get rid of these bump stocks and at least not have, you know, machine guns on the street. The six conservative justices ruled late last week that the way that the laws are written and the way that, you know, the definition of guns and automatic guns and semi-automatic guns, definitions to which they relied in part on the National Rifle Association for interpretation, that, you know, a bump stock ban would infringe on, you know, Second Amendment rights, or that it was not properly defined in the law. It's such an extreme view to say that the laws that were passed during the gangster era of prohibition that banned machine guns on our streets is not really a freedom that we deserve to have in this country. As you look at the interpretation, one social media poster, Andrea Yunker, writes, you know, the Second Amendment was written in 1791. The bullet was invented in 1847. So could we just say that the Second Amendment only applies to muskets? Would that it were true, but sadly it is not. And by the way, it really wasn't only based on a Second Amendment feeling about the justices, though we know how they feel about these things, but also the continual sabotage of the American regulatory system that keeps us safe, that keeps our streets safe. This same U.S. Supreme Court has been trying to dismantle things like the Environmental Protection Agency, you know, the kind of thing that keeps our drinking water safe, the thing that the Supreme Court justices' conservative friends in the Wisconsin legislature don't seem to have any interest in doing. Selena Heller joins us next for today's history lesson. You're up north. Her name was Selena. She's a reporter for Up North News, and she joins us now for today's history lesson on Barry Manilow's 81st birthday. Brooklyn-born Barry Manilow, with a singles list a mile long, 51 top 40 singles on the Adult Contemporary chart. 36 of those were top 20 hits, 28 top 10s, 13 number one hits, including that one there, Copacabana. Selena Heller, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am good. How is everyone?
I think everyone's pretty good. Mr. Mathers, still? Yes? All right, good. So Copacabana, here's again one of those days where when you do the math, it just doesn't work out well for you. This song came out in the mid-70s, of course, and people familiar with it know that the last verse talks about Lola and that was the lyric is that was 30 years ago when she used to have a show, which in the mid 70s meant the mid 1940s. And it was very easy for me as a kid to conjure up, you know, some washed up nightclub act, you know, 30 years later from the 1940s. Selena, if that song were done today, they'd be talking about somebody from 1994.
Oh my goodness. I know, that's so hard to think about.
Like, there's kids right now that think of 1994 the way we thought about the 1940s.
Holy cow.
And that is in no way depressing, is it?
Okay. Oh, The 90s,
so long ago. Another thing that folks may not know about Barry Manilow, especially the younger ones, was before he hit it big as this, you know, like one of the pop stars of the 70s. Was all of his jingles. Were you familiar with all the jingle writing he did before he hit it big?
Oh, gosh, no.
McDonald's, You Deserve a Break Today. That was him.
Okay.
I Am Stuck on Band-Aid, that jingle. Mm-hmm. That was him. Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is There.
my gosh, that's still going strong.
Yep, that's Barry Mantle. He did some Pepsi ones, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah, guys made a little money in his day. You know who else has? Dolly Parton. Well, 51 years ago today, she stepped into a studio and gave us this instant classic. That woman has never been anything but class. You know, when she heard the Whitney Houston version, she didn't get jealous. She's just like, yeah, that's great. Made it your own. You know, you go with that. Yeah.
And now she has that program that gives books to kids.
Oh, my goodness. That woman has done so much. I loved how last week there was an effort by, I don't remember if it was the Heritage Foundation or some other, far right group to say, well, Dolly Parton's, Christianity isn't our version. And boy, you may as well have, picked a fight with Taylor Swift.
Because oh boy.
You notice, I don't hear anything about it anymore. That was a trial balloon that did not float.
I know.
That was on this day in 1973. 300 years earlier in 1673, Jacques Marquette and Louis Joliet reached the Mississippi River and became the first Europeans to make a detailed account of its course. The Statue of Liberty arrived in New York Harbor on this day in 1885. On this day in 2008, wow, Katy Perry's been around for 16 years now. Her major label album debut, One of the Boys, is released, featuring this hit single. Katy Perry has been a chart force ever since, and then moved over to American Idol. Let's see, I think I've got, before I get into it, there's a lot of other history notes today. So let's go to Shakira getting her first number one hit on this day in 2006. And it's one that's still associated with her today. Okay, we've got several sports ones here, Selena, for you. You're familiar. You're familiar with the name Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch?
A little. A
little bit. He was born this day in 1923, 101 years ago. He passed away in 2004. A Wausau native. He played college football for the Badgers in 1942. University of Michigan in 1943, turned both teams into top five powerhouses. He got the nickname Crazy Legs for his unusual running style. A Chicago reporter writing, his crazy legs were gyrating in six different directions all at the same time. He looked like a demented duck. That's
funny. I ran the crazy legs in Madison.
I was going to say, I've run one crazy legs as well. Luke, you're in that area. You ever run the crazy legs?
I have not.
It's the one that ends at camp. You run onto Camp Randall, onto the football field.
It always would disrupt traffic right by my house when I was in school. And so I was always kind of, I had a weird vendetta against it. I was like, crazy legs.
And yet if the World Naked Bike Ride went by his house, would he complain about that? No, the man's got a,
I think I would absolutely complain about that too.
Crazy Legs was in the Marine Corps during World War II. He then played in the NFL for the LA Rams, helping win the National NFL Championship in 1951. And then he was athletic director at the UW from 1969 to 1987. And Selena, try to envision this. In four years as athletic director, within his first 4 years, he had raised home attendance at football games from an average of 43,000 to 70,000 per game. I can't imagine 70,000 people not being at a Badger football game.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be weird seeing it that empty.
Yeah. He and his high school sweetheart, Ruth, were married for 58 years until his passing. Speed skater Dan Jansen, the pride of West Allis High School, is 59 years old today. Mark Tauscher, the Green Bay Packer from Auburndale High School. He is 47 years old today. And one more musical highlight, the number one hit this day in 1978 was by Andy Gibb. Venus Williams is 44 years old today. Kendrick Lamar is 37. We mentioned that's National Mascot Day. It's Global Garbage Man Day. It's Apple Strudel Day. It's Eat Your Vegetables Day. And for Selena, it's Take Your Cat to Work Day. Because she's reaching past the screen. And there's Whiskers being huddled up in a way that would cause most cats to tear your face off.
Oh, no.
Not whiskers.
No.
Not whiskers. What are we talking about in our next hour here? We've got you talking about what kids talking about school lunches, right?
Yes. And summer school. Yes.
Okay. All right.
With them last week.
Good. And we've got Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin as well coming up after the news. One more historical note on this day in 1972. Five White House operatives were arrested for breaking into the offices of the Democratic National Committee. A stupid idea, given that Richard Nixon would go on to beat George McGovern by winning 49 states, but he had to resign in disgrace 2 years later. One of his TV advisors, Roger Ailes, didn't like that, and it began the start of what became Fox News and the right-wing media constellation that's so prevalent that a guy like Donald Trump could not be impeached and convicted in the world we have today. More after this. You're Up North.